But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMonagle.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The
Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. 12:02. McMonagle here with you on a 5-hour midnight ride. As we got you all the way till 5 a.m. You can still hear Paulie taking his control. The little bit of control he has in his entire life is just controlling the music at the beginning of my show. So he takes advantage of it. Good to see you, Paul. Hope everybody's having a great, great Tuesday morning, I believe now. Yes, Tuesday. I get my days all mixed up, especially when I'm trying to count how many runs the Mets score. Unbelievable. 22 hits. Well, I mean, let me just ask the obvious question. What's wrong with Tyrone Taylor? Nothing? Nothing? 0 for 4? What, are you kidding me? Thank you, Paul. As we'll get to the Yankees and the Rizzo injury and the news that Cole is going to start against the Orioles, but we have to start with the unbelievable Mets. 6 in a row. Can't slow them down, can't stop them. This offense that we have talked about forever being streaky, well, for the first time this year, they are now on a streak, a legitimate hot streak, as Nimmo has come alive, as J.D. Martinez and the meeting and his importance that he's placed on the meeting has awoken the team. Lindor, 4 for 4, could have had more if he wasn't taken out for defensive purposes. I mean, just up and down the lineup, Alonso with a big hit early on in the game to get them on the board. It seems like a meaningless hit now that it's been, you know, 14 runs and 22 hits later. But I didn't think this team had 22 hits in them. And they're not doing it. And the best part of this, now, I do think that there should be some trepidation here. All right, let's not get crazy, Met fans. I understand you've been dying for any sort of glimpse of this because this is what we thought the strength of the team could be. We always believe the offense is better than it is, that it's better than it's shown, that it should be an offense. When you look up and down Major League Baseball, when you look up and down the National League, sure, all right, the Braves, the Phillies, and although the Braves without Acuña here have really struggled, but all right, there are some teams that offensively could be better than the Mets, but ultimately, this Mets lineup, when you know Alonso hits 45 and 100, Lindor, whether he's overpaid or not, or whatever you think of him, is still a tremendous defensive shortstop and a good hitter in the middle of the lineup who, you know, has RBI and power numbers most shortstops in this league do not have. You look at what Nimmo could be, the on-base percentage, the stats that every analytics, thank you, you moron. The analytical player that all these GMs across baseball respect in Nimmo. You know what Marte can be healthy. You've added J.D. Martinez, one of the more, you know, professional RBI men in all of Major League Baseball over the last 6 or 7 years. And yet this offense continued to sputter all year and be your main detriment. The reason you weren't winning. Yes, you've blown a lot of sleeves. Yes, Diaz at the back end of the rotation, but ultimately, the Mets are where they are under 500 because this offense has not shown what they showed you last night. And while, listen, 22 hits is a bit out there, and I don't expect it every night, what you're seeing from this team are things you should expect every night. And what they're doing over the last two games, especially, is hitting excellent pitching. This isn't pounding on some bad teams. I mean, they took Dylan Cease, who's one of the best pitchers in the National League for the Padres. He was an ace for the White Sox, traded over to San Diego, having a very nice season. And then John Gray, who I will tell you maybe his stuff isn't the filthiest, but he's a damn good pitcher, who heading into this start had 11 starts and a 2.17 ERA on the season. And they absolutely pound him in 3 innings, 11 hits, 9 earned runs. And they jump out early. They've bounced back off of giving up runs in the last two games. Like, I like the idea. I'm always big on that. You don't want to fall behind for long. I'm big on momentum. You want to pick up on momentum. And to come back after that performance on Sunday and head into this game last night against a, albeit struggling, but World Series defending champion, and all the noise around DeGrom and Scherzer as the game started and everything. But ultimately, this is just an important stretch for the Mets following on the best homestand of the year. And to get out there right away in Lindor to start the game with a hit for J.D. Martinez, his only hit of the night, to get it in the first inning and set up the Pete Alonso base hit and then the second inning and keep the momentum going. That's what this Mets team needs to be. Now, again, 14 runs, 22 hits is a bit of a aberration and ultimately nothing that I get too excited about. It's fun in the moment, but you got to see it persist. The Mets still have a lot of work to do. Let's not get crazy here, Met fans. I understand you want to run out there, rip your shirt off and go running through the streets proclaiming the Mets are back. The Mets are back. I get it. I get it. It's been such a miserable season all year long that you've finally gotten a glimpse here. And when you look at the standings, they are where they are on the wild card. We went over it yesterday. They're jumbled up in a very, very tightly contested National League where there's only two terrible teams in the league and then a bunch of mediocre, you know, whatever, in the middle of it, where the Mets are right in there, despite being, heading into yesterday at least, the last of that rung, right above the lousy, you know, Colorado Rockies and Miami Marlins. They're right there with all these other teams. But to watch this team right now, and you know what the starting pitching is, and you hope what Diaz can be if he stabilizes in the back end of the bullpen, and if he can ever get you back to the momentum that he brought and the energy that he brought to this team when you knew you had a legitimate top-notch closer at the back end of this game, that could be extremely important for them. But ultimately, this offense needs to come through, but we do need to slow down here. Because this is just, you know, yes, it's a six-game winning streak to get them back to, you know, two games under 500 or three games under 500, wherever they are right now. Like, we need to establish this for a longer period of time. And it's more than just the games where they go off like this, right? It's more than just the games where you get 22 hits and all those singles and just pounding them and coming at them and coming at them. And now you've got a hot Lindor, you've got a hot Nimmo, you've got a hot J.D. Martinez. Hopefully Pete Alonso's coming around, but it's going to take, you got to come back and do it again tomorrow before I believe in any kind of crazy hype. Like, we need to slow down. And enough with listen, I'm all for the grimace is fun, but there's a lot of different angles to this whole grimace thing, all right? Because I don't want to be a party pooper. I don't want to be a party pooper because I'm excited for the Mets right now. And I know, yes, I called them dead a few weeks ago against Arizona. I still have a lot I got to see more from this Met team. I'm not going to declare them anything other than what they are right now, which is a hot baseball team, which we've seen ebbs and flows. They were a hot baseball team at the tail end of the beginning part of the season after that terrible homestand when they went through Cincinnati and then took care of, you know, Los Angeles for two games. Like, they've had hot stretches even in this miserable season before. This feels different, 22 hits and 14 runs against John Gray and beating up on Cease the other day. It feels a little bit different, but ultimately this team still has a lot to prove, and the hot and cold nature of it is what scares me when you get performances like this a little bit. I'm not saying it scares me, but the idea, scare is not the proper word, but what doesn't, you know, I want to see just the average four or five runs a game before I get all crazy about a quick hot stretch where they're scoring a ton of runs. Because, all right, you score a ton of runs when you're hot. What happens when one of these guys cool off? Because right now, you know, Lindor's killing it. J.D. Martinez is certainly killing it. Nimmo has been hot the last 4 days. Obviously, Pete Alonso comes through with the home run the other day. Comes through with the big hit to start the game here. Like, yeah, okay, if everyone's getting hot, you know what this offense could do, the damage it could do. But ultimately, you need to see it on a regular basis. And the stuff with Grimace, I don't want to poo-poo it, all right? Because I don't want to rain on a parade. We all know it has nothing to do with it. I don't think anyone's suggesting it does. We're having some fun with it. But I got to be honest with you. Just coming from an outsider, it would bother me a little bit when they just won a huge game. I mean, right now, as I told you yesterday, this is an extremely important stretch for the Mets because I think you have to outplay your GM's desire to trade everyone away. You can't be, if they're in this spot, you know, three games under 500, a game and a half, two games out of the wild card with three or four teams ahead of them come the trade deadline, I'm pretty confident your GM is going to trade away everybody. I think you're going to lose Severino. I think you're going to lose JD Martinez. I think you're going to lose those guys and not give yourself a second half of actually competing for a wild card spot. So these are important times right now. And as much as the Grimace thing is fun, and as much as this game in particular, watching them pound, you know, the defending World Series champs is fun, for the first question on Nimmo, who's been hot these last three games, to be asked on the field in a very long-winded, funny, you thought he was going to get a serious question to ask about Grimace, like, oh, can we talk about our baseball team right now and the way we're playing and not some dopey McDonald's character that threw out the first pitch 5 days ago? Like, I'm not trying to rain on it. Have some fun with it. And this team clearly needed to have some fun. They talked about opening up. They talked about getting the pressure off of them. They've opened up about the idea that in the meeting, it came out that they felt like they were putting undue pressure on themselves. And now that the season had sort of spiraled at that point, that the pressure was off them and nobody expects them to win, so go out there and have fun, which is things we've heard from other teams before in history. It's not new or novel or unique to this Mets team, but it's what they needed. And despite the idea, and I know me, Fliegelman and I were just talking about this, despite the idea that the manager, in my opinion, has really done very subtle moves and some not-so-subtle moves that proves to me he does have the feel and temperature for this team, whether it's holding people accountable and taking people out of the rotation and putting them in the bullpen in Hauser or cutting Lopez or, you know, moving hitters around or, you know, hitting Bader second. But moving Lindor to the leadoff spot has really triggered him getting going. Like, he's made these nice moves, but at the same time, like, if a players-only meeting was necessary to tell them to lighten up, you would think that's something you would like to have the manager have an idea for, that they're tight. But ultimately, sometimes it just comes better from another player. It comes better from your peers. It comes better from inside the team. And I think Mendoza's done a nice job, but you would have liked to have gotten this done a little bit earlier if you realized the team was dealing with this, you know, unsettling pressure that was causing them to play the way they were for the first half of the season, or the first half of, you know, what we've seen so far, the first 60, 70 games of this year. But ultimately, right now, we're seeing what the Mets could be, right? They have to continue to do it. They have another two games in this series. Then they're going to take on the Cubs in what's going to be in a very important series. And the offense needs to continue to be like this, because ultimately, what have we seen from Lindor? What have we seen from Alonso? What have we seen from Nimmo? What have we seen from some of the key members of this team throughout this season, throughout their Met career, throughout, you know, what we've seen over the last handful of years? Is a very streaky nature to this team. And right now, they're riding high. They're about, you know, this offense looks dangerous, especially with J.D. Martinez and Alonso and McNeil. Excuse me, McNeil. Forget McNeil. Alonso, Lindor, and J.D. Martinez, and even Nimmo getting along. Like, those guys are capable of carrying this team, no doubt. No doubt. But at the same time, they're also the main reason they haven't been winning. Lindor, at the beginning of the year, was a major culprit in how they built a, you know, 10-game under 500 season. And Alonso not doing anything is a major culprit in why they were where they were. And as much as they're part of the turnaround and why they are where they are over the last six or seven games, it has to continue. So let's just pump the brakes before we call the Mets back. They still have to show me a lot more offensively than one night in Texas where they got hot and hit 22 base hits and pounded John Gray, which I admit, again, a 2.17 ERA. They are not doing this against terrible pitching. And that's what's frustrating about this team, ultimately. What's annoying about this team, what's frustrating about this team, is that you know they're capable of this. You know, maybe not 22 hits and 14 runs on a nightly basis, but you know this offense is capable of being a threat. You know this offense is capable of being deep. You know this offense is capable of having power in the middle of it, and now with Lindor at the top of it, like, you know what they're capable of. And to watch them, you know, putter around for the first 2 months of the season is what's frustrating about it. But now if they can get going, again, inside this average National League, they're as dangerous as anyone. But we need to pump the brakes, and enough with the stupid. It's one thing if it's like a day or two, but now this is a 6-7 game winning streak where the Mets are actually playing well. Right? You got Alvarez back. The team's pretty much whole. You're waiting for Kodai Senga, but other than that, this is pretty much the team. The offense is on fire. You just swept the Padres. You took the first game against the defending World Series champions. The offense scored 14 runs and 22 hits. And the first question is about Grimace throwing out the first pitch. I don't know. I understand it's fun. I'm not trying to rain on parades. Enjoy it. You want to enjoy Grimace? You want to have some fun with Grimace? I mean, next week they should the next time they're in a slump, they should have the Hamburglar come down. Imagine what they'll do with him. I mean, forget Ronald McDonald for the playoffs. There's no doubt. So I'm on board with having fun. This Met team is clearly having fun. It feels like a completely change in dynamic. The offense is completely different. The rotation's been doing what it's doing. Hopefully Diaz comes back, but ultimately we see how important these players are. And I think you're really seeing how important Nimmo is. Because while obviously Lindor is the leader of the team, he called the meeting, and you know how important he is, the money he's making, the position he plays, the standing inside the organization. Obviously, Alonso is someone who hits home runs, carries the team. J.D. Martinez is doing typically what he does, and you can see how that can uplift the team. But a lot of this, Nimmo is one of the more important players for this team. And, you know, as he goes, he is kind of the enzyme. He is kind of the thing that gets them going. And it's no coincidence that he's been as hot as a pistol over the last four games, and it's been their best offensive stretch of the season. So right now, the season is back on. And whether you want to give credit to some dopey McDonald's character, or whether you want to give credit to this manager, to this GM, to this organization, and namely to the top of the lineup, who is just on a complete tear, right now it feels like the Mets are in a mingled up, jumbled up, National League that there's no reason that they can't come out on, but they can't come out on top of, but they need to continue to do it. 14 runs is fun. 14 runs is a laugher, and God knows they needed it. 22 hits, 14 runs, pounding this up, you know, completely continuing to come at you and have one of those nights where everything worked is great. Come back tomorrow and score 6 runs. Come back tomorrow and win 5-1. Come back tomorrow and put another good offensive performance with good at-bats and keep it coming. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here early. Charlie and Bethpage, what's up, Charlie?
C-Mac, my main man, how are you tonight?
Good, brother, how are you?
I'm all right. Listen, I love the energy with the Mets, even though you're a Yankee fan.
That's right.
I love my Mets. But they do this every 6 weeks, and then they dropped out.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. This team is too streaky, and right now they're on a hot streak, and they are, without question, one of those teams that, you know, the old cliche of you're never as good as you are when you're winning and you're never as bad as you are when you're losing. The Mets are the epitome of that because when they're winning, they look like this, and it looks like, good God, who's better than the Mets right now in the National League this side of Philadelphia? I mean, they're this offense and what J.D. Martinez can bring to it and all the stuff I talked about because I'm caught up in it at the moment because I do think they look pretty damn good. But we've also seen them at times this year where they've been awful and impossible to watch, and we've been calling them boring. And you're 100% right. This team has been extremely streaky, whether it's the June swoon of last year, whether it's the start of this season, whether it's the 10-game homestand, whatever the case may be. Right now, they're on a hot streak, but they need to continue it. And even when the hot streak ends, when they lose a couple games, which they're bound to eventually, like, how do they bounce back off of that? They need to continue to play good baseball. They have an easy schedule the rest of this first half. But, yeah, no, today is not a day to just celebrate that the Mets are back. Today's a day to kind of decompress, understand as a Met fan that maybe this offense is capable of what we hoped it could be capable of. And right now they're playing good baseball and could thrust themselves into a position where the GM has no choice but to ride with the team. And if they were ever going to get hot, now is pretty much the perfect time to do so.
Without a doubt. But the offense, when they started the year, and once they got J.D. Martinez, that puts a big bat in the lineup. But Marte, he hits, Alonso hits, McNeil is killing me, but if he hits like he did a couple of years ago, that's a strong offensive lineup. And now Alvarez back, they're just a better team.
No, no
but
doubt.
The bullpen, I don't know what I'm going to get from the bullpen. It's very tough, but I'm enjoying the run, and I'm enjoying it, but I don't have the faith in them. That's just the way I
am. No, listen, and Charlie, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm sure there are many fans who don't have faith in them. And I am not saying what we saw last night is enough to immediately have faith in them. Like I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to be positive about the Mets because I don't know how you can't be watching that game. Right? I could come on here and give you the tip. I could. I could come on here and do an entire open on how this is fool's gold and don't get fooled by it and they're really not that good. And all of a sudden, oh, great, they're going to win the World Series. You know, I think the fans can get out of control. I saw on Twitter a couple, you know, but that's, again, neither here nor there. I think most Met fans kind of have your opinion, Charlie. I think most fans kind of have your opinion. I need to see more. That's all I'm saying. But you can't not be, you know, because the thing is it's what we expected. Now, again, not to this level. Not till last night. Last night's one of those fun games. They happen to every team. The Rockies will have a game like this if they haven't already. Teams, you know, the Marlins will win a game by 8-9 runs. Like, this is, it's one of those weird games. It's come right at the, you know, it's right in the middle of a hot streak. It's right as they're playing their best baseball of the year. But, you know, it's one of those games. What they need to do is continue to show me to do it. I agree. But when you look at a team that's failing because the offense isn't doing this, and you thought it could, when it was supposed to be the strength of the team. Because let's be honest, when you look at the players individually, like Lindor is a damn good player. Is he is he making, you know, too much money for what he is? Yeah, probably. Add him to the list of almost every player in Major League Baseball. But he's around an 800 OPS guy who hits around 270, who as a Met has hit you 20 to 25 home runs and driven 80 to 100 RBIs, and that's what he's been. The problem is he's been streaky, and as the Mets faded, he hasn't been there to help them. Last year's June swoon, he was terrible. The beginning of this season, he was awful. That's his problem. But you know how good he is. You know the player he can be. Pete Alonso is one of the premier, if not the premier, slugger in all of baseball, only because Judge is hurt too much, but we don't have to get into that discussion. Since 2019, Pete Alonso is the best home runner hitter in Major League Baseball. He is consistently, when healthy, which is pretty much always, a 40 home run guy, drives in 90 to 110 runs. Like, you know that he's in the middle of that lineup. JD Martinez, who they added at the very tail end of the year, who didn't start the season on time, probably needed some time. You know what he is. He is a professional, middle-of-the-lineup RBI guy performer. You know that Nimmo, despite faults, because he's not a perfect player, gets on base and is a very good defensive corner outfielder, but offensively can have a little bit of pop, gets on base, has good at-bats, and he's been terrible this year. I think Jeff McNeil's a lost cause, but besides that, there's a lot of guys in this lineup who've been dramatically underachieving, and that's why they were where they were. So when you see it, there is reason to believe because your entire time watching this team, you're saying to yourself, I don't understand it. I don't understand what's wrong with this team. Why is this core broken? Why do they need to break up this core? How come Alonso's having this miserable year on his walk year? How come Lindor can never get going when we need him? How come Brandon Nimmo's terrible since we paid him? How come this? How come that? How come that? Because it's hard to fathom that all these players that you know are capable of so much more haven't been able to do it. So when you see it over the course of six games, albeit six games, it starts to make you feel better in a positive mode because you know they're capable of performing like this. And that's why it's great. Today's a great day. I don't want to come on these airwaves and poo-poo it because there's nothing to necessarily poo-poo other than you got to keep doing it. This is not enough. This has been a Jekyll and Hyde type team for a long time, dating back to the Atlanta Braves series at the end of 2022. Since that moment, this team has been a Jekyll and Hyde type team, mostly Hyde, with miserable stretches where they are boring, they can't hit. They've been terrible defensively at times this year. But ultimately, you know they're capable of being the team they were last night. They just got to do it more often. They got to be more consistent. And so by no means am I saying the Mets are back, because would it surprise anybody if they lost the next five games? Would it surprise anybody if this offense goes ice cold and loses the next five games and gets swept by the Cubs? Would that surprise anybody? And if you're a Met fan, honest with yourself, no, it would not surprise you. TJ in Queens. What's up, TJ?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
How's your morning?
I'm doing good. Just getting warmed up.
Hey, listen, I'm going to let you in on some insider information about the Mets tonight, all right? I got a buddy named Shivam out in New Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a phone number to the War Back Department. I filed the claim. The Mets are back, all right?
All right, good for you. I mean, that was a long-winded, not-so-funny joke, but I get it. Congratulations.
Hey, we're back. The sticks are swinging. Lindor's hitting from the left, from the right. 22 hits tonight. I mean, come on. Don't tell me. I don't want Charlie poo-pooing me either. We're back.
All right. Listen, let's see. I think it's way too early to say you're back. It's one game. They played well. And again, totally agree with you. They did not hit some terrible pitching. This was not an opener where they got to the bullpen. You know, they faced a starter who had a 2.17 ERA heading into the game in 11 starts. They beat up Dylan Cease yesterday. They took him out of the game in the first inning. They took John Gray out of the game in the second inning. They have absolutely pounded the last 2 days. And good to borderline excellent starting pitching. So I'm not trying to poo-poo what they've shown you. I'm just saying, how could you possibly say that the Mets are back? Like, I don't want to be a jerk, but this is not the day for the Mets are back. This is a who the hell is this team? And I hope this continues. That's what today is. Who the hell is this group that has shown up the last 6 days? Where the hell has it been, and how long can it stay here? That's what today is about. If they do it for another 2 weeks, and they're 5 or 6 games over 500 by the All-Star break, then we can talk about the Mets are back, and this is a season. I don't know how you could not think you need to see more of this, because especially the fluke nature, and I hate to say this, the fluke nature of 22 hits and 14 runs. They pounded a starting pitcher early. They got to it. The game spiraled. They got a bunch of hits. It's relatively fluky. Come back and score 5 or 6 runs tomorrow. That's what this team needs to do. They need to stack wins. And they need to play good baseball. Because honestly, what happens? What do I come on and say at 2 a.m. on tomorrow morning if they show up tomorrow and get shut out? What should I say? The Mets are back. This is just one bad game. Okay. I mean, that's plausible. But this team needs to just show you more. That's all. Today is not the Mets are back. Today is look at how good they can be. Where the hell have they been? And how do we continue to play this way? How does this offense continue to do this? How does Lindor continue to stay hot and not go into another tailspin? How does Alonso take off here? Because I think this is what the offense could look like, especially if Nimmo's playing well. And if you got JD Martinez, who's just himself, and you've got a hot Lindor and you've got a hot Alonso, that's what drives this baseball team. And when you look at the rotation, you get another. It's a tough start to judge Peterson on. It's a decent offensive team that's had a miserable offensive season, but once the game gets out of control, hard to judge him. But he's been fairly good since coming back. McGill the night before, pretty damn good. Severino's been very solid this year. Manaea up and down. Quintana up and down. But the starting pitching overall has been pretty good. The bullpen's been hurt by injuries, and obviously the closer has been a bit of a disaster. Hopefully he's rounding into shape. So the team is starting to fall into place where you feel a little bit more confident about it. And anytime you get 22 hits, you're ready to call me up and brag and say that you talked to a buddy and you filed a claim with the We're Back department. Great. Hilarious. Almost as funny as, you know, Grimace is the reason for all of this, and his novelty glove and his stupid hat. Maybe it's just that I don't like Grimace. I don't know what. You know what it is? I'll be totally transparent with you. When I was with Carton and Roberts, we had some New York rapper come into the studio. He did something on the Knicks a couple years ago. Not this season, last season. And he was doing like a rap song for the Knicks. I think he was like the original Bing Bong guy. I forget his name, but he had like a song, Bing Bong, or he talked about Bing Bong. We brought him into the studio. I happened to be wearing a purple shirt that day, and he called me Grimace. And since that moment, I haven't liked Grimace. And so I don't want to give him credit. I don't want to give Grimace credit. I don't want to talk about Grimace. And honestly, as a Met fan, all jokes aside, if I'm a Met fan, I don't want to, like, it's fun for a little bit, and I'm not trying to knock it because we've seen dumber things, right? We've seen dumber things. The Yankees had a turtle, right, in the clubhouse in 22. The Mets, who let the dogs out? The Angels rally monkey. There's all kinds of things that teams and players and fan bases get behind. And I'm not trying to stop you from getting behind Grimace, but I have to admit, when the first question after a big win like that is about Grimace 6 days ago, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. 888-808-1019. 888-888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Continue to take your Met phone calls. We'll get to the Yankees. We will get to the injury to Anthony Rizzo and what it means for him personally and the first base position of the New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole will pitch on Wednesday against the Orioles. We'll preview the Orioles series. The Boston Celtics are NBA champions and one of the more dominant teams we've seen in a long time. Unfortunately, I have to say that. It's just a fact. And we'll get to all of that over the course of the next 4.5 hours. But Met fans, we start with you after pounding the defending World Series champs to the tune of 14 runs and 22 hits. Are the Mets back?
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
I will say it's pretty remarkable the difference where the Mets are as a group. Behind the scenes, in the clubhouse, just the feeling around the team. I know winning does it, certainly. Right? And scoring runs and having everybody in a good mood does it. But think back to where they were when Jorge Lopez threw his glove into the stands. And think back to those post games after that meeting. I was like, it was right after the meeting. They have the meeting. Then they speak to the media. Think of the questions they were asking. Think of how they were talking. Think about how, you know, guys like Ottavino were like, yeah, you know, we suck right now. We stink. We are one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball after the comments that were misconstrued by Lopez, answering questions about how bad they are. Guys aren't working hard enough. We got a really question about our, you know, preparation and how we're going about taking care of business. And if you think you're doing it great, fine. But if not, you need to reevaluate yourself. Like, think of that and then think of what we hear now. And we're talking Grimace. We're talking everybody's having fun. We're talking how loose we are. Now, winning has a big part in it, probably more than the meeting. But it has been a diametric turnaround in almost every way, shape, and form. And I got on them after they lost the last two games against the Diamondbacks because I thought if they were going to ever build momentum, they took the first two games from the Diamondbacks and then they got blown out and then they blew a save. And I was just like, well, I mean, they can't, you know, they can't stay in a game and then they can't hold on to a win. After the momentum of the meeting and the first two victories of that series, I just thought, like, this team's never going to get it. They're never going to get any momentum. They're not good enough to continue to build on things. And so far, over the last six games, for sure, and even dating further back than that, what are they now, 10 out of their last 12? They've done a nice job keeping the momentum, and scoring early is a huge part of that. That's why Alonso's base hit to give him that 1-0 lead is a big hit. And obviously the runs that came in the second and, you know, the 3-run home run by Stewart is an enormous hit. And the way Lindor is playing right now, since the meeting, he's the one guy who really put it upon himself. Like, if I'm going to give credit to anyone in that meeting, it's got to be Lindor. He calls the meeting. He's the one talking about the meeting after. And since, he's just been a far better player. And if you look at his numbers, he's working his way up. He's at 240. His OPS is around 780. Like, he's starting to build into the player you knew he would be. But it's gotta continue right now. Because ultimately, again, what I said yesterday, I believe in firmly. I don't think this winning streak, I don't think yesterday changes what this organization wants to do or how they believe in this team. Because a week is nice, but you can go back to the end of 22 to see a very flawed baseball team. There's just no way around it. You could say whatever you want today. I'm not. Be excited. You should be excited, Met fans. You're in the middle of a lousy National League where you can be as good as anyone in it this side of Philadelphia and with a healthy Dodgers team. But, like, you can go back to September of 22, and from that point on to this point here, they have been a wildly inconsistent and disappointing group. With a first baseman who's going to want to get paid, there's a lot of questions about this team moving forward, a lot of roster spots available, and a new GM who's come in here who I firmly believe wants to break it all up on some level and build this team more in his image, trade away pieces, acquire assets, and go about this his way. And if this team is going to avoid that breakup, if this team is going to call themselves the 24 Mets and actually make a go of this thing, it has to continue right now. It has to be more than this six-game winning streak. It has to be more than the last 12 games. They have to continue it past this to make sure that this GM doesn't do what he wants to do.
I have a piece of audio if you want to play it a couple seconds long.
Okay, please. He's going to say a surprise. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
Yes, they are.
Play it one more time, just so everyone can, because I talked over it. This was
they
me.
They are dead.
I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
That was the morning of June 3rd after June 3rd. The Mets blew that game to the D-backs.
Correct. How long have you been waiting to hold that? Did you save it right
there?
No, not
long. I actually just had to go cut it up. That's why I didn't have it as soon as you mentioned it. I remembered the day and what segment it was, so it took a couple minutes to find it.
Took you right back. Yeah, no, I remember it. They wrote up stories about it, the whole thing. I remember it. Hey, right now, that's the question. Are you alive or are you dead man walking? You're definitely walking. I'll give you that. Thomas in Queens. What's up, Thomas?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. You do a great show.
Oh, thank you very much. What's going on, bud? You excited?
Okay, so, first of all, like you, I'm also a Yankees fan, but I was partly raised in Corona, so I got a hot piece of my heart for the Mets. Always.
Okay.
I think they're in pretty good shape, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it's more than tonight. It's more than a six-game win streak. They've won 10 out of 12.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind.
Sure.
There is a bit of longevity here.
Yep.
Secondly, they are starting to live up to their names, the individual players. The other teams in the wild card race don't necessarily have the name that they're waiting for their players to live up to. We have that advantage, the Mets do. And they're starting to approach what the expectation was. So that's optimistic reason number two.
Okay.
And now the biggest one. Cohen is a proven spender. It's not his fault that the superstars he signed didn't perform.
Okay, it is his fault.
He will go for it in July.
I completely disagree with you.
Okay, tell me how.
Because this team has set itself on a course. And right now, I mean, you can't spend money. You got to spend assets. And I find it very hard to believe that they went out last year and broke this team down to acquire, you know, depth inside their organization, and they're going to trade it away this year. I just don't see it. Not for this team. They would have to win a lot.
Well, if they're right there.
Yeah.
Like, if they're right there to make the playoffs.
Correct.
You know, with at the trading deadline, you don't think they pick somebody up with a big salary?
No.
I don't know who that would be, but to keep someone that's be like a loan for the playoff run, you know, one of those free agents that might be there, might be available only for the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. A trade candidate. Yeah, someone who, no, I don't. I don't think so. No, I don't think you would get anybody that would be good enough to require legitimate prospects. I don't think the Mets are in the business of trading prospects away right now. I don't.
But what about just picking up the salary?
Who's okay? Now you got to find a very unique situation of a player who's available on a short-term deal, big money that team would give away for nothing. Like I just don't see it. What player is out there who's making a ton of money on a short-term deal that a team won't want prospects for? That they'll just say, okay, yeah, take them off our books for the rest of the half of the season for absolutely nothing. When I'm already dead this year, I don't see that lining up.
Okay.
They're going to have to trade away prospects. And I don't think the Mets are in the trading away prospects. If the Mets not only find themselves in the mix, if the Mets go on an insane winning streak, if the Mets find themselves four games up in the wild card, like if the Mets have now just blown past everybody, hottest team in baseball, the lineup's going absolutely nuts, the pitching continues to be good, Kodai Senga works his way back somehow before the trade down deadline, which I'm not even sure is plausible, and he starts pitching well. Like if this team looks like they are right there as one of the best teams in the National League, then maybe. Then maybe he'll say, look, I got one of the best teams in the National League on my hands. I got to try and bolster it and give an opportunity to win a championship. So if that happens, if they win another 6, 7, 8 games in a row, if they play 17 out of 22 or something crazy here, and they thrusted themselves not only to just being one of the teams, but being the team. If they catch the Braves, if they're in position one of the wild card and looking like one of the better teams in the National League, then maybe Cohen and Stearns would be interested in trading away something of significance to get back a player that would help them, a rotation piece, a bullpen piece. And I'm not saying they wouldn't do anything; it would be very on a small level. And I'm not saying they wouldn't be interested in some sort of salary dump, but that's a hard matchup because I don't think he would take on money for long term. Like a team would get, like for the Yankees, for example, would be willing, if they had a miserable season or something, to move Stanton, right? You could get Stanton for next to nothing. You could get a player like that under long-term deals for next to nothing, or at least a couple of years of control. But who's going to give you a slugger, a reliever making too much money for just half a season? Like, I don't think Steve Cohen's going to want to put money on the books moving forward. But again, it depends on how much. If they find themselves two games, if they're a game and a half out and there's only one other team in front of them, then I think that would be enough not to sell. And maybe add a minor reliever. I don't know. Pick up someone, you know, off the scrap heap that you wouldn't think they'd pick up, or trade a minor thing. But they're not. They're in the process of acquiring assets. They just broke this thing down last year. They're trying to build for the future. They told you so at the beginning of the year. Things would have to be dramatically different to sell. I mean, excuse me, to buy. Dramatically different. If the trade deadline were tomorrow, I believe they would sell. If the trade deadline were tomorrow, I think they would break it down and sell. In the position they're in now, a game out with, I guess the Reds are now behind them. Oh, and the Cubs. All right, so they've jumped the Reds and the Cubs already. So with the Pirates ahead of them, the Diamondbacks ahead of them, the Padres ahead of them, the Nationals ahead of them, the Giants ahead of them, I think right now in this position, as crazy as it sounds, I still think they'd sell with that many teams ahead of them, even a game or two out. They would have to do a little bit more not to sell, and they would have to do a hell of a lot more to buy. Steve in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Bro, I was one of your biggest fans on the afternoon show. You were amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. So, congratulations on your show overnight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Still a little too hard and much on the Yankees and beating up on my Mets. But I called them dead.
They were terrible. I'm changing my tune to the point I'm being mocked by my producer. So, what do you want?
I agree. I turned the game on, error in the first inning, throwing the ball to the outfield. They look like a little league team. However, what you're forgetting, the biggest beast and the strongest guy on the team was their catcher, Alvarez. You know what their record is with him?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's better. I mean, he was there for the beginning of the year when they went 0-5.
Above 500.
In his career with the Mets or this season? Not this season.
This year. They're 16-6.
Okay.
When he's on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he got hurt right as they were just turning it around in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they started looking okay. Listen, this guy is like Soto, Judge. There's something different about him.
Stop. I appreciate all the compliments, but I can't just allow you to say nonsense on the air.
What did Scherzer say about him?
What?
What did Scherzer say about him last year?
I don't know. What did Gerrit Cole say about Gary Sanchez?
Dude, not for nothing. He ended up okay a couple of years ago.
I mean, I know. But he's not Juan Soto or Aaron Judge. Come on, stop it now.
Listen, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Judge.
That's exactly what you said.
No, when you're a catcher and you can throw the pitch, except you know what his ERA is with the Mets this year?
Yeah, they've pitched better with him, sure.
2.3.
Yeah, I know, but they've had Tomas Nito.
Dude, what was the ERA with the Mets? This year was over 5. The other catcher they got rid of was 4.2. Yeah.
No, I understand. He's a massive improvement.
No, you're not understanding.
I am understanding. He's a massive improvement at catcher. He's a good, young, quality baseball player who makes the Mets a hell of a lot better. Congratulations. I totally agree. You can't, but you say things. Juan Soto. You can't say Juan Soto. You can't say Aaron Judge. He's a solid bat.
Forget those two.
Well,
what he does to the Mets is more important than anything else. He also extends their lineup. Remember, when he got hurt, their DJ wasn't there yet. Now, with the two of them in the lineup, you got to be kidding. Their first 6 guys now were the best they've ever had.
One more time, who was the best they've ever had?
The first 6 guys in their lineup right now with DJ Martinez and Alvarez now. And Alvarez in the lineup. It makes the middle of the lineup a little nasty.
Yeah. No, I agree, but like you're talking about him, like he's hitting .217. He's got an OPS of .579.
It doesn't matter.
Oh no, it doesn't matter. Nothing I say matters. Only what you say matters. You say he's like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and I go, no, he's not. Well, forget that. Okay, we'll forget that. He's a dominant force in the middle of the lineup. He's got an OPS of under 600. Oh, forget that. They've won games. There's no doubt he's better. He's better than what they've had, and I do believe he's a young, very solid, on his way to becoming a great player in this league. But he's not Juan Soto or Aaron Judge or anywhere near the thing that's making this team go right now. At the start of the year, he was the only one who showed up. Those first 6 games, that first homestand, he was their best hitter for those when they were really bad for a week. He got hurt in San Francisco just as they started to fade. They started out terribly. They played well. He got hurt in San Francisco. They lost that series and then started to have their downturn. And since he's been back, he's helped. I can't argue that. And he's a much better player. It's great to have him back. And I do think he can become something very, very good. But he's not that right now. He's just not that right now. I mean, he's got 2 hits in his last... You know, I got 5 games. He didn't play for 2 of them. Thanks for the stats here. But he's got 2 hits in his last 3 games. So he's... And this doesn't... it doesn't even have the game last night. 3 hits last night. So there you go. But everyone got hits. Listen, I'm open to the idea he's a great player. By no means am I saying he's not a good player. But you can't go overboard and say what you're forgetting is they have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto behind the plate. That's not fair. He's a young, up-and-coming player who's just getting his feet underneath him, coming back from injury, and I expect him to be good. And I agree with you. The scariest lineup they've had, 1-6. It's the same lineup, but plus Alvarez. It's the same guys. It's the same guys who have led to an offense that have done nothing for the Mets. And I'm not trying to pound on the Mets. Today's a good day to give them props. But let's just be honest about what they've been, and this is a week. You don't think you need to see more? You think you've seen? You proved it? That's it. The Mets have proved themselves. I agree. We can make fun of me for calling them dead. We can make fun of me for that because they're not dead. I have to eat that. I'll live with that. When you're on the radio 5 days a week, you say, I felt at the time they were dead. You can make fun of me. But you can't tell me that you know they're ready to just pounce. It's a week. It's a nice 12-game stretch. They've played really good baseball, and the offense, certainly over the last couple days at least, has dominated good starting pitching and have scored a ton of runs with a ton of hits, and right now they look like they're playing as well as anybody in the National League. They have to continue it. So please, don't call me up and tell me now this is the key to why they're going to be great the rest of the year, or you know now the owner is going to go out there and throw all these prospects and attack the trade deadline. And I mean, 2 days ago we were talking about trading Pete Alonso. Now they're going to go out there and add everybody? Let's just see where this thing ends up in 2 or 3 weeks. But right now, yep, that lineup is showing you what it's capable of at its best. And if they put forth this effort for another 2 or 3 weeks, they will be in a playoff picture. They will be one of the wild card teams and not looking up at anybody.